Much like Gilgamesh, these rulers traveled to exotic lands and had encounters with magical creatures. They too were in close contact with the gods. And if we think about what we've learned about Gilgamesh and apply it to these other rulers, you have a good idea of what the Mesopotamians believed their legendary kings did during their reign. If we move from individual rulers to a political structure on a broader scale, we see that the city-state was the main political structure of the early dynastic period. This bolsters the importance of the city as a focus of political, religious, and military activity. A city-state consisted of one or more large cities, such as Babylon or Lagash, and the lands that surrounded it and supported it with food. Sometimes a city-state was composed of just one city. Other times there would be one large city and several smaller cities that joined together to establish control over a larger region in southern Mesopotamia. We have the names of about 15 or so cities in Sumeria and another 10 for Akkad. Remember, Akkad is the area of northern Mesopotamia. And these date to the early dynastic period. These names of cities probably reflect urban areas that were relatively large. If you recall the great size of Uruk, which could have included a population of up to 40,000 or so, keep this in mind when you think about what cities were like in the early dynastic period. They could have been even larger. Cities were located very close to, and sometimes even within sight of each other. The land around the city was used for both agriculture and for grazing flocks, and it would serve as a buffer between the city-states. As the city-states expanded and as their populations grew, this land could also be a source of contention as the two cities blended into each other. To give some idea of the extent of cities, we don't have a lot of evidence, but we have a little bit, let's take a look at the city of Lagash. Records from Lagash report that over 600 acres of land were associated with the temples in the city. This doesn't include private land that was not usually recorded at this time, because the records that we have come just from the temple, not from anywhere else. It's estimated that temples owned about one-third of the total property of the city-state. So if the temple of Lagash owned 600 acres, and using this formula, we could imagine that as one-third of the entire acreage of the city itself. This is clearly a rough estimate, but it helps to ground us with some examples of the size of the cities that we're talking about. The city-state was ruled by a king called a Lugal, or an En or Nc. En and Nc are interchangeable. The origin of kingship and the specific duties of these early kings can't be determined from the snippets of information that survive, because we normally just have the name of the king and the city over which he governed. The terms Lugal and En are not used consistently. A Lugal, which means a big man, is found as one way to describe a ruler. An En or Nc later on is a governor, and by later on I mean 500 years down the road when we get our first definition of what an En is. So it becomes problematic to apply this understanding of the term En any earlier. Records indicate that some Lugals had the allegiance of one or more Nc's, and so this suggests that a difference in status between the types of kings emerged. Perhaps an En was the ruler of a smaller city than a Lugal, or perhaps a Lugal was an especially effective military leader. These are all speculations that scholars have proposed, But the evidence simply does not allow us to distinguish between these two terms for ruler in the early dynastic period. Often I'll use the term ruler or king interchangeably to refer to what is recorded in the text as a lugal or an ensi.